That was almost a family band up here. I guess it is a family band when you really think about it. Glad Sarah and Boone was able to join us this morning in worship. Well, good morning. It's great to worship with you this morning. Today, for me, is a very exciting day. We got to open the front doors of the church. We're going to use this morning as a time to walk through kind of the story of our church, to show you a couple of pictures, and to talk about the significance and the blessing that this church is to this community. It's not a coincidence that we've been going through the book of Ephesians, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. It's a letter written by Paul. It's a letter written by Paul to Christians, trying to show us who we are in God's eyes. And when we really think about it, who we are in God's eyes is probably a much more accurate depiction than who we are in our own eyes. You know, the way that God sees us is so much more accurate than the way that we see ourselves. That if Christ truly is our Lord and Savior, then you have been forgiven. You've been redeemed. You are washed by the blood of Christ, which means you're pure and holy, whether you feel like it or not. Because of all that, God says, I not only forgive you, but I adopt you as my son and as my daughter. And he gives us this inheritance of heaven and eternity with him. And a place where there is no more suffering, a place that there is no more evil, not just because that stuff is absent, but the opposite is happening. We're filled with love and joy and worshiping our Lord and Savior face to face. And by being in God's family, we've talked a lot about this, it means we are co-heirs with Christ because he lives within us. And the first two chapters that we've studied through the book of Ephesians, it's been amazing. It's been good news. It's been the gospel. And because of what is written in the first two chapters is the reason we're here this morning. We are here worshiping a God that is worthy of our praise because of everything we read in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 of how God views us, what God has done, the spiritual blessings that he has given us. And we're here to praise him as a family. I've talked at length the role of the church. What a church looks like when it's united by Christ, meaning Christ dwells in each and every one of us. I read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 through 22, that Christ lives us. It says, in him, in Christ, the whole building is joined together. And it raises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, in Christ, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. What this is saying is that we are the church. We are the temple of God. When you think about the curtain that separated God and the Holy of Holies from everybody else. And the understanding that that curtain had ripped is the understanding that Christ no longer lives in the temple, that God no longer lives in the temple, but he dwells in each and every one of us. We are the temple. Ephesians makes it very clear that we as Christians have become the temple. You know what made the temple important? God. That's where God lived. Without God in the temple, it's a really nice building. I mean, that's about all it is. It's a really nice building that people could come and it could accommodate a lot of people. I spent a little bit of time last week going over 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It says you are the living stones. And last week, I think I received more compliments from last week's sermon than I've received in a long time, which means it must have resonated with a lot of you. The idea that God picks the perfect stone to be put in the perfect place to serve a purpose. We know that a true stone layer will chisel the stone. If you remember last week, I demonstrated that God wasn't a brick mason. We're not all shaped and formed the exact same way where he just slaps us in one after another. We're all different. Same. We have different shapes, sizes, colors, and God has a perfect place for us. I must say, as I was giving the sermon last week, I was reminded in the middle of it of a joke, probably one you've heard before. But a pastor, he's repairing the fence at the church, and he's adding on to it. And he's sitting there hammering in a fence post and going to the next and hammering in the next fence post and going to the next. And while he's doing this, he notices there's a little boy watching him. And the boy is just staring. And he's been there for like 15, 20 minutes. For a little boy, that's a long time to sit and watch anything. But he's just watching, and the pastor takes notice. And finally, the pastor says, "Son, is there something you want to ask me? I notice you've just been staring at me the whole time. Is there something I can help you with?" And he said, "No. No, I'm just waiting and watching." The pastor said, "Waiting and watching? Are you waiting for your parents? What are you waiting for?" And he said, "I have just been waiting and watching to see what happens when a pastor hits his thumb with a hammer." And last week, as I was hitting the chisel and not looking, I pinched between the two, and luckily I didn't say anything. Praise God, that's right. I believe when we understand that God uses us, when we understand that God uses the church to be the temple of God, it's not because of anything we're doing, it's because Christ lives within us. Just as God was in the Holy of Holies, Christ lives within us. We are living stones. As I described this last week, I didn't get into enough detail, I don't think. You know, this rock might be perfect here and now, maybe chiseled, designed for this spot. But we are living, and things change, and God uses us in different places at different times, and it's painful. Change is difficult, especially when chiseling is involved. But God says, "You are part of my temple," and he puts us in different places, uses our talents in different areas. But we all have one purpose. Scripture says, "Nothing can separate us because we are united with Christ." We talked about how many times in Scripture God's plan seems ridiculous, seems like a bad plan. Using a broken people to reach the world, to unite the world through the gospel seems like a bad plan, to share the good news. But this is God's plan, and he uses the church. Why do you think Paul spends so much time addressing the church, trying to correct the church? He makes a lot of time traveling from church to church, teaching them what to do and what not to do. He spent a lot of time protecting the church. It's because he knew it was God's plan. We are God's plan. We're all different. God has put us in this place this morning for a purpose, shaping us to be perfectly connected to each other through him. And it's easy to let all kinds of disagreements and struggles and comparing to one another, it's easy to let that get in between us. But I believe when we allow God to use us as his temple, that's when we experience the fullness of God. It's when we become the temple. And you know who takes notice of that? The world. Those that God puts us here to reach. I think that's why we are called as believers to live in a biblical community. To pray for one another, to lift one another up, to hold each other accountable, to do life with each other, to raise each other's kids in a manner that brings glory to God. It's God's plan. What a plan it is. A church full of broken people that are in desperate need of a Savior, God says, I provide a Savior. And I have a plan for you. A plan to reach the world. And I believe until we understand that Christ is within us, that Christ unifies us, until we start seeing things from God's perspective, until we start seeing ourselves the way that God sees us, that is lined out in Ephesians, that we are forgiven, that we are redeemed, that we are chosen by Him as His kids, until we start living like that, like we believe that, we don't have the impact He designs for us. This is a great building. It has a lot of history. But really, when you look at it, it's brick and mortar and sheetrock. Used to be asbestos. But it's just a building. This place is a place when we come together and we live life together and help one another out. When we pray for one another. When we worship together. And all this stuff is important. But when we turn out the lights and we leave, God is with us. This building is for the community. Remember, as we talked about the Holy of Holies, the goal was to get as close to God as you could. If you were the high priest, you could get the closest. You know, you could actually go in the Holy of Holies once a year. Then the not-so-high priests were next. Then the Jewish men, then the women, and then the Gentiles. And it was this hierarchy of how close can we actually get to God. The book of Ephesians says, can't get any closer. God dwells within you. Kim Edlin started this list that we have read as a church. I wanted to spend a little bit of time hitting the highlights of that, if you'll allow me to get there. It says, are you an outcast or a victim? Are you a flunk out, a drop out, a burnout? Are you broke or broken? Brain damage, incurably ill, shoved aside, replaced, overemployed, underemployed, unemployable? Are you parents of failed children? Children of failed parents? Are you barren, pregnant too many times, pregnant at the wrong time, a mother out of wedlock? Are you lonely or incompetent, emotionally starved, emotionally dead? Have you been violated, raped, or molested? HIV positive? Have an STD? Have you been addicted or divorced, abandoned, widowed? Are you immoral? A prostitute? A pimp? A pusher? A pervert? Have you had an abortion? Have you performed an abortion? Have you murdered? Are you a child molester? Are you? And we can go through the list. The list is long. Are you a church washout? Are you living in sin? Have you made a mess of your life? Have you been burned or rejected by the church, by the religious? Welcome. Welcome to the club. Scripture says, and such were some of us. Such were all of us. If you are beyond the limits of human acceptability, if you are unworthy, if you are unwanted, you are welcome. There is healing here. There is hope here. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is here because we're here. I apologize, I lost my spot. This place, this church, is for us. It's for the community. It's a hospital for the sick, a place that you go for prayer and for healing. And it's not a place that we go to and we're happy about because the builders did a great job, but because when we are here, Christ is here within us. The Holy of Holies is here. Think about that. The Holy of Holies is right here because you're here. We're going to continue to push in this church to impact the community in the best way that we can. We're going to start having a lot more events like we had last night. We need you. We need you to invite the community. We need you to come and invite people to come in here to see what people that are united in Christ look like. Now you might be asking yourself, we say that we're a missional church. And what that means to me is each person in this place that is a believer in Christ has to see yourself as a missionary. Whether you're on the mission field in Africa or whether you go to work with the Christ that lives in you and you love your employees the way that Christ calls you to love them. To share the gospel in your own way, whether it's at the grocery store, in your home, wherever you go. That's what it means when we say we are a missional church. It's not about bringing your neighbor to church so somebody can evangelize to them. It's going to your neighbor's house and saying, hey, I see you're struggling with this. Can I help you? It's inviting your neighbor over to dinner and saying, hey, you know what? We're having a dinner at church. I think you might enjoy it. You kind of see the difference that we're going there. This is a place for the community. It's a place for us as well. We're not going to change being a missional church. But this is a place that we can use to worship together, to fellowship together, to serve the Lord with one another together, to break bread with each other and with the community. Talking about breaking bread, we're having Partners in Hope dinner over here December the 10th, which is, for those that don't know what Partners in Hope is, it's people that are in the community that can't make repairs to their homes, whether it's because they are ill or can't afford it, and Partners in Hope sends out church volunteers to swing hammers with one another and to help where there's help needed, and then every month they invite people to churches to have dinner. The next several years, our goal is to open these doors as much as possible to invite the community, to invite each other in. To do things like the chili cook-off or game nights or a movie in our beautiful backyard. To have gospel brunches with music back there. A place where AA can come and call home and AA is in itself its own church. This remodel has been a long journey and we're not quite done. Don't look around too closely. There's some things that aren't quite done. The nursery doesn't have windows in it, so we can hear them a little bit this morning. The mirrors aren't done. There's some things that aren't quite done, but we're close. Did you know that this building that we're in right now, it ended where that wall goes up? So above Kurt Nielsen's head, that's where the sanctuary was built, and that was the back wall. It was built in the 50s. I've got two different documents that say two different years, so somewhere in the 50s. And it just started as a sanctuary from there to Kurt. And then they added on the next half from Kurt to Carrie. And that was two Sunday school rooms in the back, and it, best I can tell, was divided by two curtains. One that went this way and one that went down the middle. And then they added the door and the windows in the back. So that's already two additions. And then they decided to go this way. And through that little small door by Richard is where the kitchen was built. And they built the kitchen and the doors to come in. And that kitchen must have been tiny. And then they built where Sarah's office used to be, which is now the women's restroom. And that was a Sunday school room. And then they added on and built two restrooms. And the restrooms literally, most of you have been in there, I could touch all four walls in one spot. There were two of them, and then there was where the youth pastor's office was another Sunday school room. Then they added on a kitchen. Then they finally added on adult four with a nice fireplace that we covered up through the remodel. As best I can tell, there was four major remodels, six total remodels, and at least four different decades. And they would just slap wiring on the back of the church. There was 12 different electrical boxes on the back of the church. One of the mains wasn't even on a breaker. Sorry. This has been a great building. It has served this community for almost 70 years. I accepted the Lord as my Savior in that pew when I was 9 years old, I believe. But it was time to update this place for the community, for the community needs. And God blessed us to the point where we were able to do that and make this more inviting and more comfortable to the community. So as part of the renovation, we wanted to keep our character. We say we're a family church that love one another, that know each other's names, that help raise kids, and I thank you for that. But we're also a missional church, and we wanted the remodel to reflect that. We didn't want it to be a sterile, commercial building. We wanted you to walk in the doors and feel like you would be comfortable at home. So with lots of help, we got started, and we're going to go through a couple of pictures of this remodel. First picture, please. This is kind of us through some of the demo, going through the planning stages. Got a lot of help. Next picture, even my boys helped out. Spent a lot of late nights up here. We knew some things that we wanted. The lobby that we had previously could only fit about 6 to 8 people uncomfortably. If they squeezed in, we could maybe have 8 in there. And it got really loud. The ceilings were low. And it forced us to come into the sanctuary and fellowship in the sanctuary before entering, which was okay. But it's nice to have a spot that we can come before church and to fellowship with one another and then come into church with a sense of reverence and knowing that we are prepared to worship. I measured the old lobby. The lobby before was 112 square feet. Now the lobby is right around 500 square feet. We vaulted the roofs to make them seem even larger and able to absorb the noise, and we hope that this is a place that you can come and fellowship and share a cup of coffee with one another and tell stories about the week and pray for each other. Next picture, please. This is the old lobby. Just where those bricks are, that was the size of the lobby. Next picture. You can see where those bricks are. That's all that there was for a lobby, and then the rest is the beginning of where Sarah's office used to be. Next picture. This is what we've gone to. We be able to seat quite a few and sit down and fellowship with one another. The other goal we had is we wanted to pick things that would last for several decades. We think we did a pretty good job with that. Next picture. We're going to have a TV that's going to be mounted on the wall. As awkward as this is for me, we're going to do our best to live stream what's happening in here, out there. We have had lots of requests, whether a mother is nursing and would like to do that out there. We have a screaming kid. It's much easier to go out there and not miss what's in here. And I know some of us, the pews hurt our backs after we sit in here for a while, or we just need to get up and walk around. You've got a place where you don't have to miss out what's going on. It will be awkward to see my face up on the screen. That's right. Next picture, please. We're going to have a coffee bar. We had that sign made for our church. Go out and take a look at it. I think it's really nice, but you'll be able to come in and share coffee with one another. Next picture. And there's kind of the lobby as a whole. If you remember, it was just where that storefront was, and we added much more windows and natural light coming in. Another thing that we wanted to do in the space was move the nursery, the babies and the toddlers. We wanted to do that for safety concerns, and Adult 4 actually gave us the idea, which means they had to give up their room and be patient until we remodel the parsonage, which they gracefully have done. Picture one, next picture, please. That's Adult 4, what it used to look like. And we decided we could use this place for babies and toddlers. We'll call them walkers and crawlers, and in just a second, so if you can go to the next picture. There's the new nursery. Got great toys in it. It's going to be a great space. The flooring's a little softer than just having a hard floor, but it's Maria is so, our cleaning lady is so excited. We personalized it with a lot of verses on the wall. And next picture, please. Just play stuff. Next one. This will be the walkers. Barrett has already torn up this room several times. Barrett's my son, if you're a visitor. We'll have a place for them. It's fun to pray for these areas, knowing that we're going to have babies and toddlers learning about our Lord Jesus Christ in these rooms and grow up and maybe one day be sitting here and teaching what they've learned. What's that? Or standing here. Yeah. Next picture, please. Got a reading corner for kids to go. Next picture. And just toys and kid stuff. This is what some of the demo looked like before. Next picture. One of our biggest reasons for the remodel. Go back one picture, please, if you can. So, this little box here with a hole in the ground, that used to be the men's restroom. And the one next to it used to be the women's restroom. And I think I already made reference, you could touch it with all. It was 75 square feet combined, both bathrooms combined. We had wallpaper, I believe, from the 70s. Being held up by duct tape. It looked like a Forrest job to me. Duct tape, Forrest? I'm not. We weren't handicap equipped by any means, which meant my father-in-law couldn't even go to the bathroom when he came to church here. He'd have to wheel all the way over there. We have learned, or I have learned, through spending time with my father-in-law, there are restaurants we can't go to because things are too narrow. There are places that it's very difficult to go to. And what are we saying to our community when we can't go to the bathroom in the church? It was time for a change. I almost had to turn sideways to go through our old bathroom doors, if you remember how narrow they were. Next picture. So this is what we came up with, the space. Everything is ADA equipped. Next picture. Mary didn't want to take too many pictures in the bathroom on the chili cook-off night, so we only have a limited amount of pictures, but if you want to, go spend some time and look and see what we did. That picture is very close to where Kim used to spend hours and hours sitting in his office. Is now the bathroom. So we went from 75 square feet combined men and women's to over 240 square feet in the restrooms. We went from two toilets to seven, including one of the cutest toilets I've ever seen, those little toddler restrooms. If I sat down there is no way I would ever get up. But the bathrooms are four times larger. Went from two sinks to five. Like I said, two toilets to seven. I remember not too long ago we had a funeral in the church. We had about 150 people here. And as soon as the funeral was over, I got in line to the bathroom, which was extremely long because only one at a time in there. And while I was in line, somebody came out and said, "That is the worst restroom I have ever seen." First thing I thought is I was defensive. This is my church. Grown up here. It's not that bad. I've been in truck stops that were worse than that. I started finding myself defending our restrooms. I thought they're right. You know, they're right. We it's time for a change. Through this whole remodel process, I'd like to tell you what kind of church we have. I heard almost no complaints on color, amount of money we were spending or not spending and putting it in the right place or the wrong place. The church really came together, rallied behind this, prayed for it, and was very pleasing through the whole process. Which is a miracle if you read about churches. Unless you complain behind my back and I didn't hear it, and that's okay. There's a lot, like I said, still to do. We're not close to being done. We're going to do the house in the back, which is in, don't go in there, please, without a tetanus shot. We're going to continue to remodel over there. We're going to remodel in here to a certain degree. Adult four, we're going to put in the parsonage, and it's also going to be a good indoor-outdoor space. So when we do things like the chili cook-off in the backyard and it's raining, we'll have a good spot to do that. We also want to have a shower and a bathroom over in adult four. So if there is an emergency in the community, we can house some people over here and allow them to have a shower and a bath over there. We've done a lot of mission work before. I remember we went to a church in the Houston area, and they brought in over 100 people during a hurricane. People just destroyed the place, destroyed the bathrooms because nobody was watching who was coming in and out and didn't have enough security. And that learned a lot to separate the bathroom to where people are staying and to be able to control that a little bit more. A lot of people have pitched in to make this happen. First, Kim Edlin got a lot of this stuff started and spent a lot of time. And then he told me, I don't know if this is betraying confidence, but he said he didn't have the energy to finish it out, and I completely know what he was talking about now. Paul Johnson could not have done this. We could not have done this without Paul. Paul knows everything and anything when it comes to real estate and construction, and we would have made several horrific mistakes without Paul's guidance and direction. Randy and Mike and Rex were here at weekly meetings when we were meeting with the architect and with the contractor. Appreciate your time. Jana and Sarah and Dawn picked out a lot of the finishings, put their touches all over the place. So if something you don't like, we'll blame the interior designer. If you like it, talk to those three. Really, I'd like to thank my wife and kids for putting up with me spending more hours and coming home grumpy because things weren't happening the way that they were supposed to, and the architect was arguing with the contractor. My family was so gracious and praying through the whole thing, seeing my wife praying with my son through this process about it, were great to me. And they're not here to hear it, so I get to say it. What a blessing to be able to... Go ahead.
I need to interrupt you. There's somebody you left out. I want to recognize Scott's point of this.
Thank you.
Because without a notebook, Scott somehow or another was able to recall every single thing that needed to be done, what hadn't been done, how it was to be done, what we had agreed upon with the contractors, and constantly held them accountable in the most Christian way possible, even when
thank you, Mike.
Scott, I want to add to that. Most contractors, their worst clients are churches. That's a fact for any number of reasons. And I know for a fact that this experience for this contractor was completely different.
Yeah, they showed up at the chili cook-off last night, which was really cool. Yeah, we did. It was awkward being the pastor and getting onto them, but this is a big deal for us to be able to serve this community for decades. Spending money is not a gift that I have, especially other people's money. But through a lot of prayer and a lot of guidance through our leadership team, I think we spend it well. So where do we go from here? If you will, put up the chili cook-off pictures. Now, that one was just cute. I had to add that one. So the chili cook-off, we had anywhere from 95 to 105 people in our backyard. We had the jump house, which was probably the most dangerous thing that happened all last night. S'mores for the kids, and then a lot of the adults got into. By the way, Mary took all these pictures and organized them probably until midnight last night. The youth group. Stop there real quick. Seeing one of our older kids reading a Bible story to our younger kids in our new space, that is church. Next picture, please. Real quick. You guys know who that is? Baby Ryland that we have prayed for a long time. One that was close to not making it. Several churches prayed for him, and you would never know that that kid had spent so much time in the hospital. That's a miracle. We're a mission church. We're not going to change that. This isn't a come here and find Jesus place. This is you leaving out of this place, going in your workplace, reflecting Christ, sharing the gospel with your neighbor. That is what we're called to do. But this is a place to serve the community and to come together and to fellowship with one another and to serve our Lord the best that we can. I'd like to, instead of ending with a song, if we can stand and join hands like we do with the song. And I'd like to pray for this community. If you will, let's pray. God, we are thankful that you are here and each and every one of us that know you and each and every one that you call your kids. Lord, we're thankful that you have blessed us with this place to come and worship you, to fellowship, to grow with one another, to hold each other accountable and to serve this community and communities outside of this one. Lord, we pray that you bless this place. We pray that you bless the conversation that happens here, the growth, learning who you are and the ways that you see us, God. We pray that you are here when we are here, as we know through your word that says that that is exactly what happens. We pray that this church is a beacon of light on the hill, God, that people can come to that are struggling, that are suffering, that need you and find peace and rest here. Find people that care about them and their needs. Lord, we pray that you protect us and that you give us wisdom. As we're continuing to follow after your will as a church. Thank you that you made us like living stones, that we are your temple, and that we get to be a part of your plan. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. God bless y'all. Have a good week.